You're afraid of your greatest fear. There are all kinds of things in the world people are afraid of, aren't there? For most people, glossophobia, the fear of speaking in public, might be number one. There's another fear called acrophobia, the fear of heights, or claustrophobia, fear of tight spaces. Maybe yours is aquaphobia, fear of water. Our dog has astrophobia, the fear of thunderstorms. Actually, our dog has all of them. But perhaps, maybe the most common fear is what's called xenophobia, the fear of foreigners, or the fear of strangers, or people who are different. Well, the disciples surely had this, as we will see in this passage. So if you have your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4, if you're not there already. Who is this man? Jesus. That's the main question that they want to know, and that we want to know. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, Let's go to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and there were other boats with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and they said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him." It's a familiar story, right? Maybe you've heard this story most of your life, a very familiar story in the Bible. The danger with familiar stories in the Bible is that we assume we already know exactly what it's about, or we've already started thinking about how we can apply it to our situation. But the main character in the story, the main characters are not the disciples. And the main characters are not us, but the main character is Jesus. He is the lead role, not the supporting actor. So who is this man, Jesus? What do we know about Jesus from this story? First, we see at the beginning of the passage, it says, "Let us go across to the other side." Jesus has a plan. Jesus has a will. It's his idea to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. In the dark. I think sometimes we picture this, we don't necessarily picture it as being a time without electricity. No electricity crossing the Sea of Galilee at night would not have been that fun. I don't know if you've ever been in a boat at night on the water with no lights. It's not fun. It's quite scary, even if there isn't any waves or a storm blowing. But it was Jesus' idea to go. But the Sea of Galilee is more calm at night. The storms usually happen in the daytime. Even fishing was done at nighttime. So it's Jesus' desire to go to the other side. So that's the first thing I want you to see. It's his idea. He's not an innocent bystander in the play, and the storm happens, and so he's like, oh, I better do something about the storm. He has a will. He has a plan. He has a desire to go to the other side of the lake. Let me ask you a question. Is it not going to happen? If Jesus says, let's go to the other side, is it not going to happen? Can his plans be prevented in some way? He's in complete control. He desires to go to the other side and will go to the other side. He knows the storm is coming. He leads them into the storm. What we know about Jesus, what we know about God in the Bible, then we would say Jesus, God the Son, or God the Father, was the one who started the storm. God in the Old Testament is always in charge of the storms. Remember Jonah? So he has a sovereign will, a plan to go into the storm. Number two, we see in this passage that Jesus has sovereign power. Sovereign power. In this passage, three times the word great is mentioned. I don't know if you noticed that when you read it. Remember, when you're reading the Bible, you want to always look for patterns. Three times in this passage, the word great shows up. A great windstorm, a great calm, and great fear. A great windstorm arose. The waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling with water. Interesting to note that the disciples grew up on the water. We know at least four of them. Okay, we know at least James and John and Peter and Andrew had grown up on the lake. Other ones were from the area, but we at least know these guys were professional fishermen. They knew the lake like the back of their hand. They had been in storms before, most certainly. It wasn't their first rodeo, we might say in English. It wasn't their first time on the water. They'd seen storms before. But this storm is a great storm. The Greek word in Mark mentions that this storm is hurricane-like. It's fierce, like a whirlwind. Matthew, when he tells this story, uses the word seismos megalos. Seismic. He uses this phrase to say it's like an earthquake kind of storm wind happening. Water's getting in the boat. Have you ever been in a boat where water's getting in? That's not what you want. It's a big deal. It's not just a little wind blowing as we might go to Top Moon or something and the wind's blowing. The waves are high, and the professional fishermen who've grown up on the lake are scared. But the carpenter from Nazareth, not the seaman from Nazareth, but the carpenter from Nazareth is asleep. Asleep. On a cushion on the back of the boat. Sleeping like a baby. Do you find that odd? In the midst of a storm that's so bad that Matthew says they were in danger, and the water's going into the boat, and Jesus is asleep on the back of the boat like a baby. Was he faking? Was he like waiting to see what they're going to do? It says he was asleep. In this, we see Jesus' full humanity. As fully man, he needs to sleep. He's tired. But yet in this, we also see his divinity. Even though he was exhausted and he needed sleep, we're going to see his divinity. Have you ever thought about, I was talking to one of our church members by WeChat, this group, about the sleep. Can you imagine how good Jesus slept? Who he was? How good would you sleep at night? No worries. He's not going to be afraid someone's going to break into the house. He's not going to be afraid worrying about things. Can you imagine? He's divine. So they wake him up and they say, "Teacher, don't you care that we're perishing?" Literally, the language that they use is somewhat of a rebuke. They're really saying to him something more like, "We're going down. Aren't you going to do something?" It was a great windstorm. Great windstorm. And there's a great calm. A great calm. He awoke and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, literally he said to the sea and the wind, "Silence." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Can a man bring a storm so great that it floods the whole earth? Can a man make the Red Sea part so that the Hebrew children go across on dry ground? Can a man speak to storms and the wind and make them stop? No mere man, only God-man. Jesus is sovereign. It's his sovereign will. It's his plan to go to the other side through the storm. But yet he has great power in the storm to cause it to silence and to calm down. It's amazing. Can we do that? Now let's be honest. Do you find Jesus' questions sometimes interesting? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to them? In verse 40, "Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Jesus, we're about to drown. That was a massive storm. There was water in the boat, and we're in the middle of the lake. And yet you're asking, why are we afraid? Have you still no faith?" he says to them. What were we supposed to do? Why are you asking us, Lord, why do we have such small faith? What did you expect us to do about it? Maybe Jesus would say, "But didn't I say to you, let's go across to the other side?" Jesus had a sovereign will to go across to the other side. He displayed his power by telling the storm to be silent. And with a word, it obeys. Jesus is holy. You may say, "Well, that sounds weird to talk about his holiness." I'll explain. They were filled, the Bible says, with great fear. So great windstorm, a great calm, and now great fear. Great fear. And they said to one another, "Who is this? Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Great fear fell upon them all. They were afraid of the storm. But the scripture says they were mega afraid of Jesus. Have you ever thought about in the story that when Jesus calms the storm, their fear did not go down. Their fear went up. Their fear intensified. It didn't decrease. So they were like, "Oh, there's a storm." And it was like, "Oh, that's great." Their fear went up because of something much more fearful. And that was the presence of Jesus. Most of the time we're looking for religion, or we're looking for a God who will make everything go away. Did you know that's what religion does? Religion is trying to figure out in life how you can make all the bad go away and everything be calm. What makes Christianity different? What makes Jesus different? When you come to Jesus, your fears don't go down. Your fears go up. Yeah, you don't fear the things in the world, but you fear a holy God. Now, they were face to face with sovereignty. They were face to face with power and with holiness. Now, why do I say holiness? Because they have no category for Jesus. We put people in categories, don't we? We put people in categories. You go in this category and you go in this category. Financial categories, social categories. Everybody fits into these certain categories. And if you don't fit into that category, then I'm xenophobic. I'm afraid. You're kind of different than me. Jesus doesn't fit in categories. They have no categories for him. They thought they had a category for Jesus. Religious teacher, prophet. He's just exploded their categories. That's why he's holy. That's what holy means. Separate. Different. Otherness. This is the time that they really understand in Scripture. Not the first time, but they still don't really understand yet that he is just other than a man. He has power over nature, and that is not normal. You know, something like this happened to them early in their beginning of their ministry. Do you remember? In the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, it happened in Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, let's read it. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners, James and John probably, in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Oh, so you make a lot of fish come, and Peter says, "Get away from me, because I'm sinful." It's because he saw holiness there and power. Does this passage mean, what's the meaning of this passage? Does it mean that God is with us through every storm? God is with us through every storm, and no matter what you go through, Jesus is going to be there. Well, that's biblical, but that's not the main point of this. The main point is that Jesus Christ is God, and he is powerful and sovereign and holy and can do whatever he wants to do. Ask you a question. Some questions. Why did Jesus say to them, "Why are you so cowardly?" Literally, why are you so afraid? Why did he say that to them? What does it have to do with their faith? What does this story have to do with their faith? Jesus says there's something about their faith going on here. And why did he say to them? Was it because they were supposed to rebuke the storm? Because they, the disciples, had power to do something about it, and they were faithless. That's one option. Peter or John was supposed to rise up themselves. They're supposed to know who they were. They were supposed to rise up and rebuke the storm. Is that what he's trying to tell them? It's what TV preachers would tell you. They were supposed to claim it. They had power they didn't know about. They had small faith. Jesus said you didn't have faith. Well, what was it they were supposed to do? Option one would be they were supposed to rebuke it. I don't think that's the answer. Why did they wait so long to wake Jesus? Why did they wait so long to wake the Lord from sleep? It says that the boat was filling with water. Why did they wait till the boat was filling with water? Have you ever thought about that? Right, the storm didn't come all as one big tidal wave, tsunami, and the boat was full. The storm had to have had some kind of progression. But they waited for a while, till the boat was filling, and Matthew says they were in danger before they woke Jesus. Why did that happen? Because they did not believe that Jesus could do anything about the storm. They did not believe that he could do anything about the storm. Oh, just let him sleep. We've been through storms before. By the way, we're professional fishermen. We've grown up on this lake our whole life. He's a carpenter and a Bible teacher. We know how to handle storms, maybe. This is our skill area. But at some point, it became so dangerous that they woke Jesus. They cried out to him in fear and asked for help. By the way, this fear is a very healthy sort of fear. A very healthy sort of fear. They did not believe that Jesus could do anything about the storm. So he stood up and he said to the wind and the waves, "Silence." And he entered into a new category in their minds and in their hearts. And that category is holiness. Who is this man? Who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? Believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus with all of your heart and all of your soul and with all of your might. He can do whatever he wants to do because he's God. Don't be like the disciples. Don't be afraid to go to the Lord and ask for help. Don't wait till the boat is already filling with water before you ask for his help. Go quickly. Go quickly in faith to Jesus. He is holy and powerful and sovereign, and he will help you. And you will behold his glory. There may be some of you today who are here and you don't believe in Jesus. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about Jesus? What does it say about God? God is the creator of everything. That's why Jesus could calm the storm. He's perfectly holy and worthy of worship. But man is sinful. We can't go to God. We have a barrier in between us and God. We can't break through it. We can't get there on our own. We need help. How can we go to God? How can we have our sins forgiven? Christ, who was perfect, willingly came and gave his life to bear your sins on the cross so that you could be forgiven. And he rose from the dead so that you could have victory over sin and over death someday because you're going to die. And he lives forevermore. And he says, if you believe, God the Father says, if you believe in Jesus, Jesus says, if you believe in me, what I did on the cross and what I did in rising from the dead, you'll be saved. The bad news is you need help. The good news is God has provided it through his Son, Jesus. He has power to save you from your sins. He has power to make you clean because he's holy. Let's pray together. Almighty God, through your Holy Spirit, do your work. Act the miracle. Cause souls, hearts, and minds to be encouraged in faith, those who know you, and built up, and cause those who don't know you, who don't see, to see. By your power, calm the storms in people's lives this morning.